It is time for the Media Beat from David Tereshchuk, his weekly review of media coverage for Robinhood Radio and exclusive to Robinhood Radio. David is a multimedia and international journalist with his own online column at themediabeat.us. And as a special correspondent since 2012, he has contributed TV reports to the PBS network, mostly on ethical issues. Here's David.
This is David Tereshchuk with the Media Beat for the weekend beginning May 3rd, 2024. In this most European of capital cities, Dublin, I have a comfortable as well as effective viewing platform from which to look over all of Europe. Saying it's comfortable here is even something of an understatement in economic terms, especially. It's not commonly acknowledged in the rest of the world's media, but Ireland is a rich country, perhaps surprisingly rich. In fact, when we invoke that commonly used metric, a country's gross domestic product, divided among the number of people living there, Ireland is the second richest nation in the EU, beaten only by tiny Luxembourg, which owes its rather freakish topmost position to being absolutely tiny in population, only 1/8 of Ireland's admittedly modest citizenry of 5 million, but harbouring within Luxembourg's residence an enormous number of global bankers. The very sizable Germany, however, has often been called the engine of Europe, given its history of industrial primacy on the continent. But it is currently not in the best of economic strength. With an eye to catching euro-wide headlines and successfully gaining them, the CEO of Deutsche Bank itself, Christian Sewing, recently said, "We are not the, quote, sick man of Europe, but we could become one if we don't set our course for future growth now." That was sounding an alarm for sure. But the news out of Germany this very week questions the country's political health even more than such economic concerns. The first of three big criminal trials involving an extremist far-right conspiracy opened in Stuttgart, with the defendants accused of plotting high treason and belonging to a terrorist organization. Right now, it is 9 military members of the movement known as Reichsbürgers who are being prosecuted. Reichsbürgers literally translates as citizens of the Reich, that supposedly 1,000-year entity promised by the Nazis 80-plus years ago. Next month, 10 of its political leaders will also stand trial, this time in Frankfurt, and subsequently Munich will see a trial for 8 further lesser-ranking members. The Reichsbürgers could possibly have been seen as, well, a bit wacky if it were not for that far right-wing shadow, always there inevitably, of the country's Nazi history. Foremost among them is a certain so-called royal, Heinrich XIII, Prince Reuss, a 72-year-old real estate agent from Frankfurt and apparently the descendant of an aristocratic family. Allegedly, he was earmarked for the role of provisional head of state by supporters of the alleged coup. Some evidence of how sophisticated such supporters might be is that they've borrowed a leaf from the American right-wing playbook, and they've spent a lot of their time online spreading QAnon-style theories, such as the supposedly long-existing German deep state, sounds familiar, that has been secretly killing the fatherland's children and teenagers, which explains, for the Reichsbürgers, why such unprecedented flooding had been caused in the Ahr Valley 3 years ago, washing in a torrent through many government bunkers located there, bunkers where, they claimed, hundreds of young bodies had been hidden. Meteorologists, on the other hand, blamed climate change and extreme weather for the flooding. The German public as a whole, and perhaps many law enforcement officers too, owe their awareness of the Reichsbürgers' untoward beliefs to the work of a relentless investigative reporter, Tobias Ginsburg. He spent 8 months digging, sometimes undercover, to discover the inner workings of the movement, and this resulted in a stunning book, Journey to the Reich. He described the movement as, quote, an esoteric New Age cult, including biker groups, monarchists, Vladimir Putin fanboys and fangirls, a whole heterogeneous mixture. The daily newspaper, Berliner Zeitung, at first called the people standing trial senile loons. But Ginsburg says it's wrong to underestimate them. He writes, "Could these people be killers? The answer is yes, and we should be very afraid." He also, understandably perhaps, makes a comparison with the insurrectionists invading America's capital and the resulting deaths from that action. Serious crimes are certainly alleged in the new and forthcoming court cases. On the armed action side of the charge sheet, the evidence includes hundreds of military-grade weapons that were seized during police raids, along with thousands of ammunition rounds. And on the political side, a prominent member of the federal parliament, Birgit Malsak-Winkermann, who's also a judge, is said to have been the plotter's choice for justice minister in a new Reichsbürger government. In parliament, she represents the AfD party, Alternative for Deutschland, which, to quote the reporter Ginsburg again, is anti-immigration, anti-Semitic, and Islamophobic. And fully in step with the Reichsbürger movement in wanting what he calls, quote, the fantasy of a homogeneous society without aliens. Throughout Europe, I have to say, there are familiar echoes with this. Last week in the Media Beat, I was looking forward, or at least I previewed, the Euro elections that are taking place next month. Experienced political commentators across all 27 member countries are predicting a surge by far-right groups. Professor Simon Hicks, who studies comparative politics for the European University Institute, has become something of a regular touchstone for many media outlets across the continent, and he forecasts a sizable shift in the political complexion of Europe's parliament. He foresees that the broad right-wing grouping that calls itself ID, initials that stand for, a bit questionably, Identity and Democracy, could almost double its seats in the Assembly to hold about 1/7 of the total. The grouping includes Alternative for Deutschland and France's National Rally Party, led by Marine Le Pen. Another grouping, which paints itself as somewhat less extreme, calls itself Conservatives and Reformists, another dubious coupling of labels, and it stands to expand to a substantial 85 seats out of the chamber's roughly 700 total. This grouping is the pan-European home for Italy's ruling Brothers of Italy and Poland's Law and Justice Party. Again, perhaps I should say so-called Law and Justice. And I'll note that it recently lost power nationally in Poland, but it is still expected to increase its European parliamentary vote. All told, right-wingers, including the populist, often violent far-right, could end up holding a disturbing one-quarter slice of the political pie chart in Europe's parliament. That is according to a new poll by the European Council on Foreign Relations. That issue of immigration, which can angrily unite so many far-rightists almost regardless of country, is making itself felt here in the mainstream politics of these two western islands of Europe, Ireland and Britain. Indeed, it's turned into a new noisy spat between the countries, one that's still in the EU and the other having Brexited. Rishi Sunak's Conservative government in London is ploughing ahead with its legally challenged airlifting of asylum seekers off to the East Central African country of Rwanda to be processed there. To avoid this, many asylum seekers are fleeing to the Republic of Ireland, slipping across that porous and seemingly endlessly controversial land border with Northern Ireland. The Republic now wants to ship them back to mainland Britain. But Sunak's response was expressed in language that in former, less uncouth days at least, would have been called undiplomatic. "I'm not interested in that," he told the National Network News. "We're not going to accept returns." It was the language, however, very much the language of a right-wing leader soon to face a highly disapproving public in a general election. I have a feeling I'll be reviewing coverage of this ill-tempered bickering for some time to come. Meanwhile, that's all from the Media Beat this week. If you have been, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, David. We will talk to you next week. David can be found at themediabeat.us.